All these candles represent the lives of folks that are near and dear to you and to others, obviously. But I want to go a little bit further than that. All these candles represent the lives of those and the names you called out, of those who, if Christ was their Savior, they died in His grace and they died in His glory, now spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, they bathe in His glory. They live and they dwell and they breathe in all the glory of God. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no more, I suppose, I think, I hope, maybe. It's reality. It's just reality. They've moved from living to dying to living. And now they live in the powerful reality of the glory of God. There's no doubt for them. There's no hesitation. They just know it. They just know it. And they bathe in His glory every moment with Him. But you and I are on this side of death. And so we still look at the glory of God, and we still wonder about the glory of God, and we still imagine the dynamics of the glory of God. And we know that every time God shares His care and His grace in our lives, it's a reflection of His glory being brought forth in our lives. Every time we get upon our knees, we say, listen, I just messed this up so big and I'm so sorry for the sins I've committed against You. And the incredible peace that fills our lives, that peace from that statement of forgiveness and the reception of forgiveness is a revelation to you and I of the incredible glory of God. That He would even forgive someone like me. That He would allow me to feel His overwhelming peace in my heart. It's just a powerful revelation of His majesty and His glory. That as I move through life and as you move through life and obstacles get in our way and the Holy Spirit says, go here, go there, do this, do that. It is a revelation of the glory of God in each of our lives. No matter how you hear His voice, if it's a little whisper, if it's a little thought, if it sounds like your voice, if it sounds like your imagination. And some folks would say, no, it's none of that. I just hear God talk. And it sounds like the voice of God. Every time you hear it, every time you feel it, it's the glory of God being revealed into your life. It's the power of God to move from the gift of His Spirit into your heart and into your mind. His majesty reigns upon this earth, and sometimes we can't see that, but it does. And His majesty is a sign of His love, and His love and His majesty are the revelations of His glory for you. That He loves you so much that He just wants to pour His glory into your life. When it seems like it takes Him forever to answer a prayer, you've been praying and praying and praying and praying, and there's no answer, there's no answer, there's no answer. But the reality is that we know that He's in work in so many different ways. He's working in this person's life and that person's life, and He's working in these parameters and these circumstances that one day we'll see that answer. Our faith tells us that when we wait, we can embrace that as a reflection of His glory being worked out in the world around us, and we'll see it when we realize the answer. It is the absolute assurance of His ever-presence with us. When you feel all alone, you feel like no one cares about you, no one loves you, no one gives a flip about you, but you remember those little words, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and you think, oh my gosh, wait a minute, the Spirit of God lives within my heart. That's when we feel the glory of God beating in our hearts, with our hearts. That's when you realize the glory of God is right within you. When He works in your life in mysterious ways, you can't explain it. You don't know. You talk to friends and they're like, I don't know. I don't have a clue. How'd it happen? I don't know. is the revelation of the glory of God in your life. Oh, we hunger. As Christians, we hunger for what God glorifies. We wait and we get up every morning wanting to see Him glorify something in our lives. Our family, our relationships, our work, our finances, whatever it may be, our health, we hunger for Him to glorify something in our lives. We're hungry to be used in His glorification. We're hungry that He might call upon someone in the choir to sing in such a way that you would hear that one voice that sings those few words and strikes your heart. And you say, my gosh, it's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. I've heard those words sung 100 times, but never in that way, never in that moment. And they speak to you. And it's the glory of God. We hunger to be used to reveal the glory of God. These are the touches we live for every single day. We wake up in the morning wondering, what will the glory of God be like for me today? What will I be used for that I can share the glory of God today? We're so hungry because each and every one of them brings us one-to-one with Him. One-to-one with Him. Every day, when God reaches into your life and He gives you just a glimpse of His glory, it's like, wow, there is a God. He does love me. And I just want to bathe in His glory. I never want to leave His glory. I just want Him to pour His glory into my life every single day, every single moment, that I would know beyond absolute assurance that I walk with Him every day, with every step. And the good news is simply this, that whether we ever see the glory of God on this side of our lives is entirely up to us. See how that, where's God? Where's God? What about God? He did His. He's done His thing. He gave you creation. He gave you the earth. He gave you the breath of life. He gave you Jesus. He died on the cross. He was put into the tomb. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to the kingdom of heaven. You embrace Him as your Lord and as the Savior of your life. You receive the gift of the Spirit. He's done everything He could possibly do to reveal to you and to I His glory. He's done it all. It's just up to us. It's just up to us. Whether we ever see it in this life is entirely up to us. His glory is evident when the depth of our belief allows it to be so. So those who have no faith, will they ever see the glory of God? If they do, they'll say it's science. They'll say, yes, oh, it's just the workings of the universe, which was made by whom? Those of a little bit of faith will say, well, you know, I suppose he could be right. I guess it could be the glory of God. I suppose I'll give him credit for that. But of those of you who are just incredibly in depth in your faith, who just oozes out of you. Remember the other day we walked with the wet shoes and it was just oozing out of your shoes. Those of you who have such incredible depth of faith, you just wake up every morning waiting. Because you anticipate to see the glory of God in your life. You know it's there. You know it's coming. And you go through every footstep that day waiting to see the glory of God. You lay your heads down at night on the pillow and you give thanks to God that He has revealed His glory in your life in this way, this way, this way, this way, and this way today alone. Because your faith is deep. Your faith is deep. And you know that the expectation of your faith is to see the glory of God. When we read a story like this, folks are like, well, that's a heck of a story. Yes, it is. And it reveals the glory of God. But at some point, some folks would read the story and they say, well, did that really happen? I mean, seriously, did you hear the story? The guy was sick. His sister calls Jesus. Jesus hangs out for a few days. The guy dies. They stick him in the ground. 4 days later, Jesus shows up. Come on, really? Jesus shows up and the guy lives. Is that really true? Come on. Is that really true? What they're really asking, what we might really be asking when we think about that, can God really do that? Can God really, I mean seriously, can He really do that? Can God speak into a tomb filled with death and give it life? And give it life? Can God take what's been rotting and turn it into life? What we're really asking is not, can God do that? Will God do it in us? Because if the story's true and we believe it, then the only answer is that yes, the glory of God will be revealed in my life when He raises whatever is dead within me to life. Whatever passion I once had for my Lord is dead, He'll raise it to new life. Whatever is dead within me that I used to serve Him with, He'll raise it to new life. That's the question. That's the question. Will He do it for me? The depth of that answer for me and for you reveals the depth of our faith and what we truly grasp and what we truly believe. He's got a plan and He has a desire. For those who have yet stepped into the realms of faith, His plan is simply to initiate that faith in their lives. And for you who live the faith, His plan is simply to, what His desire is simply to give depth, more and more and more depth to that faith that you hold in your heart. Because the more you have, the deeper you live in your faith, when you wake up this morning, your anticipation is that you're going to live and see the glory of God in a way you've never seen it before. Do you anticipate it? You expect it. Because you're children of God. And God lavishes His children with His glory. And you know that you're one of them. And your expectation every morning is just to bathe in His glory, that you would believe. But believe what? I hope you heard it in the scripture reading. I hope you heard what He said. That they would believe God sent me, is what He said to them. Well, gosh, we've been studying the Gospel of John for as long as I've been here. 3 months, 4 months. And if you remember, that's the very foundation of our faith, that we believe God sent the Son. It's the antidote against temptation and sin, that the Father sent the Son. And right here, you have Jesus saying it in front of one of the most powerful revelations of His glory. He says it, that people will believe God sent the Son and bathe in His glory. Oh, there's a plan. And we get a taste of that plan through the reading. This is verse 4. Mary and Martha have already called. Lazarus is sick. Hurry, come. And Jesus speaking to His disciples, they say, we got to go, man. We got to pack. We got to get in the car. We got to go. And Jesus says, stop. Dude, come on. This illness, it's not going to lead to death. But it will reveal the glory of God. It's going to reveal the glory of God. And so they hung around for 2 days. And during that time, they're having these conversations. And the disciples want to know, well, is He asleep, this and that and the other thing? And then the text says that Jesus said to them very, very plainly, so they would get a grasp on the true circumstances of the situation, that Lazarus is dead. He's not asleep. He's not in a coma. It's not a scam. The man is gone. And for your sake, I'm glad we weren't there, so that you may believe what? That the Father sent the Son. That you may believe in the revelations of the glory of God. Our belief is two-dimensional. It begins in our head. We think our beliefs. And so this morning you heard the story being read. You understood the words. I didn't read in a goofy language. You understood the words. They registered in your brain. And you say, well, I'm a Christian. And I understood what He said. My mind got it. So therefore, I believe. Good. Good. But then it moves into our hearts. And suddenly, our hearts begin to believe. And it's when our hearts begin to believe, we're moved to do something with what we believe. You say, well, how do you know that? I mean, how's that? What's that really like? Well, in our heads, something happens, and we say, well, that's just humanly impossible. Who did that? How'd that happen? Who made that happen? Nobody. But God. Our heads begin to think, well, this is just impossible. So maybe I truly believe the words, and maybe it's really God. And then our hearts tell us, no, it's more than that. Listen, our hearts are touched. John Wesley said, my heart was strangely warmed. Our hearts are strangely warmed when we recognize the glory of God. Because we recognize it's ours. It's meant for you as an individual. It's God showing you His glory. Not showing the body of Christ. Not showing up on a Sunday morning to wow us. It's God speaking to you. This is what my glory looks like. This is what it feels like. This is what it tastes like. This is the substance of my glory. And I just want to give you as much as you can possibly handle. I just want to lavish you with my glory. So, okay, that sounds pretty good. But what about the story? Perfect story. Martha's us. Martha's us. She's been calling. She's been emailing. Doesn't show. Finally, when he gets there, she says, I mean, if you'd have been here, if you just could have showed up on time, my brother wouldn't have died. Well, you couldn't find a plane. The bus was late. Well, what's your problem? You couldn't get gas? What's the deal with you? Why are you 10 days late? Why did you let this happen? If you'd have just been here, he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died. You can do all kinds of things, and we've seen you do things. But if you had been here, why weren't you here? You ever pray that prayer? You ever say those words? I want, I need. So-and-so hurts and hurts, but you're not doing anything about it. Where are you? Why aren't you answering these prayers? In the midst of that disappointment, then, she's able to say this. But even now, I know. She's disappointed in her head. But in her heart, she knows. She knows. I know that whatever you ask God, He'll give it to you. And Jesus says, hey, you know what? Your brother's going to raise again. Be right. Your brother's going to rise again. And she said, oh, I know, and they'll rise with all of them at the last day. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Listen, Martha, you don't know how this works out. But baby, listen, I got to go see Mary, and then I'm going to talk to the Jews, and then we're all going to head over to the tomb, and I'm going to pray at the tomb. So you give me about 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes, and your brother's going to raise again. He's going to come right up out of the death and come to life. I don't know. He said, listen, I'm the resurrection and I'm life. I'm to be the first to be resurrected to life. And I'm the creator of all life. Martha, I created you. Your breath is my breath. I breathe my breath into you, Martha. I gave you life. You are the very essence of what I've given to you. Now listen to these words, Martha. Listen hard. Those who believe in me, Martha, your brother Lazarus, he believed in me. Even though they die, he'll live. He'll live. And Martha, whoever lives and believes in me, Martha, are you ready for this? Martha, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Because I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And it's believing in me that they will see the glory of God. They'll see the power of the glory of God. Martha, 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 do you believe it? Do you believe it, Martha? And she says, yes. Yes. You are the one. You are Yahweh's Messiah. You've worked and you've done things in our lives that only the Son of God could do. Yes, I believe. And the problem is that he has laid out the whole foundation of faith for her. But when it comes time to go to the tomb, the challenge of belief is going to be too awesome, too big, too huge. And she's going to back up from it. You already know how the story works. She's going to back up from that because the challenge of belief is just too big for her. And you could probably pick any person in this room, even the choir, for heaven's sakes, all those godly sounds they make, even the choir, if they were there, they might have some fear and trepidation. They might be kind of stepping back a little bit too, saying, I don't know. Because it's huge. And he never says there how much faith you have to have. He says, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. So Jesus speaks, take away the stone. And Martha says, oh, if you take away the stone, there'll be a horrible stench. He's been dead for 4 days. Don't take away the stone. Don't do this to him. Don't do this to him. If you loved him, don't do this to him. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Jesus said, woman, did I not say to you that if you only believed, you'd see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you only believed, you'd see the glory of God? Take away the stone. Take away the stone. And he called out, Lazarus, come out. Jesus spoke the divine voice into the tomb. The voice of God spoke to the death that the tomb held and gave it life. The voice of God spoke to a decaying, rotting body and gave it life. And gave it life. It's a demonstration of the power of the glory of God. The text says the dead man came out. Why? Why not say Lazarus came out? Hopping, hooting and hollering, praising God. Woo-hoo! Why does it say the dead man? Because the authors of the gospel want you to connect with Martha, Mary, and the Jews. They want you to have the same expectations that they have. They use those words to say the dead man. What does Martha and Mary and the disciples think are going to come out of that tomb? Who's in it? The dead man. The dead man. What are their expectations when that stone's rolled away? The stench of the dead man. When he calls out the name, what's their expectation? Nothing. Because he's dead. You can call his name all day long if you want to. You can stand here till the cows come home. You can call it all weekend, call it all month. You can call it all you want to. But the dead man cannot rise. And out he comes. And they see the glory of God. Unbind him. Let him go. Why? Why? He said to them, you, go to him. Take off his death rags. You, touch him. Touch those rags you wrapped around him. Touch those rags that you bound death in him with. Touch those rags that are wet and putrid and stink of death. You touch those rags and you pull those rags away from him. You unwrap him. You take off the death rags and watch what you find. The glory of God will stand before you. That's why he said to them, you unbind him, for the glory of God will be seen by you. Can you possibly imagine what it'd be like to wake up every day, and think to yourself, what will the glory of God look like for me today? What's the glory of God going to touch my heart in today? How will I experience the glory of God in my life today? In my relationships, in my finance, in my search for a job, in my worry about housing, in my worry about the election, in my worrying about war, and all the things that's taking place in this crazy, crazy, mixed up, screwy world that I'm living in today. Me and you are living in today. Wake up and say, what will the glory of God show us today? What will the glory of God bring to us today? How will he heal today? How will he move today in my life? We can't. We can't imagine. They couldn't imagine Lazarus hopping out of that tomb either. But he did. But he did. The glory of God is for you. The glory of God is for you. It's your glory. It's your glory. You're his children. Bathe in his glory. It's yours. And when we light a candle Sunday and we call out your name, you won't have to wonder about it anymore. You will be living in it to the fullest extent because the kingdom of heaven is his glory. Pray with me. We give you thanks. We honor and praise you for this day. For those who have passed and we've lit candles to represent their names, their lives, we give you thanks. Let us hold dear to our hearts our memories of them, that we would hear their voices, see their smiles. Let them continue to impact our lives with the essence of your glory. We pray it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.